Now, there was another society that also thought about the soul in a way that's maybe similar to what Plato thought. And this was the realm that was believed to exist by the ancient Egyptians. According to the Egyptian Book of the Dead, there was a god of the sun called Atum, and he was completely self-created. In fact, his name means both everything and nothing. Atum can also be compared with the Hebrew letter Aleph, and sometimes related to the Egyptian word Atum, the primal substance. We also use the word Adam, which I think is related to Atum, to mean the primal substance. Anyway, Atum is always presented, is always there, at the beginning and at the end of time. And Atum is a kind of pregnant stillness, like the feeling of the air just before a great rainstorm or hurricane. In a real sense, Atum is nothing, but potentially able to be anything. Well, Atum then made a lot of gods, and all of these gods helped form that which was chaotic and formless into that which was formed. And you know something? That ain't so far-fetched when we compare it with our notion of the Big Bang and how it got created. So all of these different texts, so-called pyramid texts, because they appeared on the walls of the pyramid, all talked about how this god Atum brought into existence everything that we see. Well, what Atum did is he spit a god Shu and he sputtered a god Tefnut from his mouth. In another version, he masturbated them into existence. Here, two of the Greek elements are created. Shu represents air, and Tefnut represented moisture and water. From the marriage of air and water, then came something called Geb, which was earth, and Nut, which was sky. And these two take on their mates and produce couples, Osiris and his consort Isis, and Set and his consort Nephthys. All these gods and goddesses arose from a supreme vacuum. Atum then condensed everything out of that vacuum from these primal elements into the sky and the earth, and that's how everything came into being. The home of the soul is not the physical world, but it is this vacuum world upon which all of this came into being, the world that is able to be potentially anything, the world of Atum. There are a lot of different versions of this story, and there are a lot of stories to be told. Let me tell you a little bit about Osiris and his consort, Isis. Well, here's how the story goes. When you die, your spirit appears at the court of Osiris. And the first thing you do when you appear before the court of Osiris is your soul is taken out, and it's actually the heart of your soul is taken out, and it's put on a scale, and it's weighed against the feather of truth of the goddess Ma'at. And if your heart is heavy, and it tips the scale downward so that the feather of truth goes up, your heart is then eaten by a great god, and god that eats hearts, and you're spit back out, and that's the end, so to speak, of you. But if you are able to have a light heart, which means that you've assimilated some knowledge in some way, then you get to pass onward into the court of Osiris. Now, when you look at Osiris, Osiris, by the way, is green in color, because Osiris represents something in Egyptian mythology. Namely, he represents the recreation or the coming back into life from the dead. And so when you go into the court of Osiris, and Osiris then says, you are now welcome, what you get a chance to do is come back into life once again. And so the story goes. So the soul's adventure is really a continuing cycle of coming back in and coming back in and coming back in. So in a certain sense, the Egyptians have given us the story of reincarnation. In the land called Chaldea, which is now Iraq, there was a man who is called Abraham, who was actually a Chaldean, who left Chaldea and traveled along into the land of Egypt, passing through what we now call Israel, and founded the tribe of the Jews, according to some legends. These Chaldeans also seem to have some knowledge of what we call Kabbalah. This is speculative, because most scholars attribute Kabbalah to something that occurred in 13th or 14th century Spain. But according to some other scholars, it may have dated back to the time of the Egyptians and to Abraham. At any rate, the view that they had was that there was a great spiritual presence called Aleph. And Aleph was, like in Hebrew, a silent, non-energy energy, non-being being, out of which everything came into existence, like the Egyptian Atum. Today, Aleph symbolizes a sacred mystery. It cannot be ever completely known. And yet, many important words begin with Aleph. For example, Allah, which is in Islam God, Elohim in Hebrew, gods, Ani, I am, Ish, man, Isha, woman, Ahava, love, many words beginning with Aleph, symbolizing something about our nature. In Kabbalah, we also find Ani, which is spelled with three Hebrew letters, which in English would look like A-N-I. They're Aleph, Nun, and Yud. If you reverse the last two letters so it becomes Aleph, Yud, Nun, it's pronounced Ein. So Ani and Ein are spelled with the same letters. And Ein means there is not. Ani means I am. Now, whenever you have in Kabbalah two words having the same letters and having seemingly different meanings, Kabbalists believe there's a deeper secret implied, namely that I am and there is not mean the same thing. So here is a hint that maybe the I am experience is a kind of an illusion coming from that which there is nothing of, there is not. So the I am is really an expression of there is not, or really the same thing. And that kind of idea is the kind of thing, the kind of paradoxical thinking that you begin to do as you attempt to wed together the notions of spirituality, as seen in these ancient wisdom texts, with the notions of from modern science.